Hey, and welcome to the 11th episode of And Your Brain Turns to Mush, a TV podcast. We've had some technical difficulties this week, so it's probably going to be a shorter episode. But we're going to talk about Amazon's new pilot deal, Netflix's Hemlock Grove, and, of course, Game of Thrones. I'm Graham.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Rick.
And yep. So, let's see, going through some business, you should like us on Facebook, you should follow us on Twitter, at BrainMushCast, you can send us an email at yourbrainmush@yahoo.com, and you should download the Stitcher app where you can stream us for free. I think that about wraps up everything. So, first topic today is Amazon's new deal with, I believe they've commissioned 14 pilots, and they've just put them all online that anyone can watch for free. And the idea is that the best rated ones and the most viewed ones will become series. So yeah, that's pretty interesting development.
It's a very unique way to go about, you know, pilots for television shows and testing them and seeing what sticks. Has anyone ever done anything like that before?
I don't believe so. I mean, they've had TV. They used to do these things all the time that were like backdoor pilots that were like episodes of other shows that they wanted to spin off, and they would have a episode that was mostly just the pilot episode of the spinoff as the main show. They tried to do that a little bit with Dwight. But they ended up having to redo that episode more as an Office episode. They used to do TV movies that would function as pilots all the time back in the day, but they don't really do that anymore.
So nothing to this extent, though. Nothing like throwing 14 pilots out there.
Yeah, this is basically like getting a small network slate of pilots like the executives would get. Except the idea is that, you know, we would get to decide instead of just the executives.
That's very cool. I like that a lot. And if anyone can pull that off, I guess it would either be, you know, Netflix or Amazon. So, cool. Very cool. And I'll definitely look into it. Is it for Amazon Prime members only?
I believe when it goes to series, it will be. But right now, you can just go to their site and kind of to create buzz. It's open to anyone.
Yeah, very smart move. Okay, cool. So anyone can jump in and see. And luckily, I'm an Amazon Prime member. Meh. So I get to go ahead and take full advantage of it once those series actually kick off. Did they say how many they're actually going to launch? Like, what if all 14 get an insane amount of views?
I think they're going to go with 3 to 4 is what I've heard. But okay. I think they're kind of keeping their options open, depending on the response. I've watched a couple of them. The most buzzed about one, obviously, just because it's based on a pre-existing property, was Zombieland. And it had a great opening scene, but once they introduced the characters who... I don't know why they kept the same characters from the movie with different actors. I think you could have had a pretty decent show in just recasting... I mean, not recasting, but like just redoing all the characters. But they've taken movie stars and they've put these like unknowns in their place, and people are not responding well to that, unsurprisingly.
I know, I don't fucking like it. I mean, where's Woody? Woody as Tallahassee. I don't like this new guy.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Let's see. You like Zombieland quite a bit, right?
Oh, yeah, Ricky? I love Zombieland.
And what about you, Josh?
I'm totally unfamiliar with it. Like, I've heard of it, but yeah, I'm a virgin, a Zombieland virgin.
That was a weird way to put that, but okay.
You know me.
But yeah, you know, I like Zombieland just fine, but it seemed to like live on in people's memories a lot more than it lived on in mine, because I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. It's not like I ever thought of Woody Harrelson's performance in Zombieland as, like, iconic or anything, but apparently to some people it is.
He just made the Tallahassee character, and then, you know, Emma Stone was in that.
Yes.
Then
I like Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes, yeah. He's cool. Then even that little girl.
Abigail Breslin.
Yeah. And just the actors made the characters, and this one, I would have preferred if they were, like, totally different storyline, totally different characters.
I agree. It wasn't a great pilot, but that opening scene was pretty golden, so at least watch the opening scene if you really want to check it out. It wasn't horrible, but those actors were given a very unenviable task and weren't really able to do much with it. Another pilot, probably my favorite one that I watched, was The Onion News Network.
Oh, gosh.
Which I enjoyed a ton and surprisingly wasn't just like a fake, like Adult Swim has that really funny show in the middle of the night. I believe it's called Newsreaders. That's a spinoff of Children's Hospital. That's basically like a fake news show. This is different because it's more like a parody of Aaron Sorkin's Newsroom, and it's about people making the news, except they're all corrupt and horrible, and yeah, it's really funny. I definitely recommend that one. I hope it makes it to series.
Cool.
Alpha House was another one. It stars John Goodman, who's awesome. I love John Goodman. And it's from the creator of Doonesbury. It's pretty funny. I liked the pilot a little bit. It will kind of depend on where people's politics lie, if they enjoy it or not, because it is taking some very easy shots at the right wing. And if you enjoy that sort of thing, you'll probably like it. If not, then probably won't be for you. But John Goodman's performance in it is good. All the performances are good, and the writing was pretty sharp. And then the last one I watched was Dark Minions, which was this goofy comedy about these two guys that worked on this like interstellar spaceship. They were like the lowest levels jobs. It was fine. I would definitely like to see more of it. I've heard some of the other ones that I didn't watch were pretty bad, but based on these four, I would say it's a pretty strong slate of pilots.
Great. What has Amazon done to advertise this? Because I haven't seen it anywhere. And if it wasn't for you telling me this now, I wouldn't even know. And I'm a guy that uses Amazon.com a lot.
Yeah. See, here's the thing is, I don't think in terms of advertising on their main site or just on television or anything. I think they've kind of done a terrible job because it's a little bit hard to find what instant videos they have available for free as a Prime member on their site. It's a real pain. And they haven't taken, as far as I've seen, any ads out for any of these shows or anything like that.
Yeah, I've always had to dig as an Amazon Prime member for the actual instant watch. It's always weird getting to it. I always end up Googling it. I'm on the website right now, and I do see on the right-hand side they have a little box with an ad that says, "Watch the shows, call the shots. Amazon original comedy pilots." Help
well,
decide,
there you go.
So, yeah, that's pretty much all. I mean, that's what I've seen, but that's it.
But, yeah, I hope it turns out well for them, if anything, just because I would like, you know, more good comedies. And these are all comedies, half-hour comedies. I'm not sure if they're going to introduce any dramas at some point. I hope they do, too, though. I mean,
It was definitely smart for them to start with comedies because comedies are, you know, it's cheaper to produce. They're,
yes,
you know, more commonly cheaper to produce than if they would have went for like a full scale drama sort of thing. So 14 comedy pilots, definitely a smart move.
So yeah, I enjoyed that. Moving on from that, we're going to talk about Netflix's new show, Hemlock Grove. This show, I think we should preface this by saying that according to the Netflix CEO, this werewolf show is did better than House of Cards in its first couple days.
No.
it's very, 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 very strange. I don't know, because that was advertised everywhere. I work at a TV station. I saw ads for it all the time.
For House of Cards?
Yes. Yeah. I haven't seen anything about Hemlock Grove except on the internet, on, you know, TV sites that most people wouldn't pay attention to probably. So I was shocked that
was
the case.
The cover art for that show that good that every Netflix user was like, oh my gosh.
Well,
a werewolf head with like an arm coming. Oh, that's, let me click on that.
The cover art was the best part of the show, so...
Yes, that is the opinion of this viewer as well.
How many episodes
House of Cards
did you
was
see?
Just so dang good.
Because of all my internet problems this week, I was only able to see the first episode.
I watched the first episode, and I got through about half of the second episode.
You see, I went through about 7 episodes now.
Okay, so we got...
Yeah, I actually like Hemlock Grove.
Oh!
I actually like it. Okay, I get into True Blood, I get into being human, I like this monster, this monster shit.
Well, okay. I love genre TV. Love it. Vampire Diaries, Buffy, Angel, the list goes on. Many, many more. You know, being human in the UK was pretty fun. Misfits. I love big genre shows. But, there's a legitimately good genre show like Buffy. There's a fun genre show like Vampire Diaries. There's trashy fun like True Blood. And then there's just trash. And that's what I got just from the first episode was what I got from this. I enjoyed almost nothing in this pilot.
Yeah, I'd have to agree too. I'm glad to get the other perspective. Like what specifically can you pinpoint aside from the genre it's in? What did you appreciate about this show? What captured you?
Well, it's just mainly the suspense of it all. I mean, the pilot did not do a good job of capturing a lot of people's
attention.
So
you weren't taken with the pilot. Which episode of the show did you get to where you were like, okay, this is something I could watch. This is something I could get into.
You know, it took me like 2 to 3 episodes in for me to really get interested, you know, with the cliffhangers, the suspense. I like it. It's just full of suspense, gore, and heck, you even have some romance in there if you stick
now,
in there.
Now, is it suspense? Because I didn't get any suspense from the first episode and the second episode, the parts that I watched. I had a lot of questions. Is it like a horror type of suspense that you're talking about?
You know, it's more like a thriller of some sort. You know, these two become friends. They're like more like distant friends. And they try to solve this whole werewolf situation that happened in the beginning that you've seen in the pilot.
We should probably set up the premise of this show, which is some gypsies who are also maybe werewolves move into this town and into this house that used to be owned by their uncle, and they go to a school where there's some emo losers or something. It just seemed like to me that there was a lot of style went into this. You know, the kid that's probably a vampire, at least, but I could totally be wrong.
Yeah.
But he was just completely played as straight up like vampire from the first shot of the show.
Yeah, he had like the power of persuasion and that sort of thing.
Well, and he just dressed like very Twilighty, you know. And
he's even got the look of it. Just looking at his face, you can tell.
Yeah, he's got the haircut. and it just, nothing about it made me say, oh, okay, I care about that person. Like, there was nothing in it that made me go like, okay, well, I don't like these elements of the show, but I'm going to stick through it because I find these people or just this one person interesting. I found no one interesting in this.
You had nobody to grab onto.
Yeah, there was no entry point. Everyone was just like a weirdo who was may or may not be a sociopath, and none of them were great actors, so yeah.
Okay, so that's what did it for you in the pilot. What did it for you was the weakness of the character development, which I can agree with you there. For me, probably the biggest point, like the biggest thing you can do in a pilot to turn me off is cringe-worthy dialogue.
Yes.
And there were just moments in the dialogue that, yes, I cringed, and I was like, oh, gosh. Good example, and I've pointed this out to you earlier. Is at one point this girl says that she's seen an angel, and the gentleman with her asks her, can you describe it to me? And she says, that'd be like describing walking to a person who doesn't have legs. And the gentleman's response was, I have legs that don't quit. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh. And that was throughout the episode. I had like at least two or three moments of that sort of cringeworthy dialogue, and I couldn't do it. And then combined with the not so stellar acting also kind of got me in places.
Yeah, the werewolf guy, he seemed okay. But the woman who played his mother was just terrible, and she was not assisted by the fact that they gave her some really, really bad dialogue that seemed like a smart but a little angsty, like, sophomore high schooler wrote. I usually give a show 4 episodes, and I think I probably will once my internet issues at home gets figured out. I will probably give this a couple more episodes, but you just compare the relationship between this mother and son to the relationship we saw last week in Defiance between the father and the daughter, or even the Bates Motel. That was at least the relationship between Norma and Norman. That was at least like interesting. Like, oh, these characters like have a bond and they have this long history together. These seem like two people who are just meeting for the first time. I felt like, I mean, obviously, I just felt there was no chemistry between the actors at all.
Yeah, I didn't get so much as that was his mother at any point. Like, I felt like it was just an acquaintance or a friend. Like, I don't know. It did kind of rub me in that way. And so, and Ricky, did you pick up on any of this at all, or did this just go by you? You were fine with dialogue-wise and acting-wise?
Yeah, I was fine with pretty much everything with the show. And actually, I think the relationship between Roman and Peter, the werewolf, and could be a vampire. Heck, you know, it takes a good couple episodes to even find out who he is, really.
Sure.
You know, a relationship between those two is like a kind of distant. It's like a distant kind of friendship. They don't call each other friends. It's not like, hey, bro, bring it in, you know. But I thought that their relationship with each other is pretty interesting. But other than that, no flaws to me.
I hadn't really seen that yet, but I just want everyone to know that Ricky just said Hemlock Grove had no flaws. that's on the record, Ricky. You can't take it off the record.
Hey, I like the show. It's pretty good. I'm still watching it.
Does the character development get, like, what episode do you start to feel invested in the actual characters? Like, did the relationships get any better in any episode that sticks out in your mind?
You know, it kind of starts to kind of pick up after the third episode, the fourth. Okay. Once it starts going into the fourth and on, you start to kind of...
Like Graham said, giving a show like 4 episodes, I'd say that's reasonable. If after 4 episodes I don't see any improvement, and what has been the reaction, like, just from general critics and viewers?
It's rancid. Critics have hated this. Of course, it was viewed a lot, so I'm not sure what the general public is like, you know, high on Hemlock Grove or anything.
Well, granted, it's not the best show it's ever made, but it's not the worst show ever made. I mean, this is the show that's a definition of a middle point, where there's going to be people that's going to hate it, there's going to be people that love it.
It seemed like the 4th or 5th best vampire show on TV right now, which is probably bad.
But the thing is, you don't know that Roman's a vampire or not.
Well, okay, yeah, but just assuming, just that whole general vibe. And
he's
he's an upper.
Upper. Upire. Upire, whatever that was. That
and,
name getting thrown.
And he has a sister who is like this giant girl who, it's really, really, really bad because when they show her in long shots where her hair is covering her face, it's completely obvious that when they do close-ups on her face that it's a different actress who's a much smaller size. And that bugged the crap out of me, like,
oh,
this
really?
Whole pilot. And I was like, oh, that girl is not that girl. You cannot convince me that, Hemlock Grove. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. I totally missed
that.
It. Oh, man.
I didn't even notice. Like,
I feel so bad now. Like, I wasn't paying attention.
it, well, it, it was a hard pilot to pay attention to.
It was, I was scratching my head a lot of the time because, like, the questions, because it seemed like a show that you should leave having a lot of questions with, and I most certainly did, but they weren't questions that I was particularly, you know, inclined to chase after. It didn't leave me on, like, a cliffhanger that I cared about. It's just a bunch of weird, crazy stuff going on, and I'm like, ah!
But yeah.
No, not like I gotta tune in next time.
Everyone in the show, every single person except maybe the girl who was, you know, the author girl who randomly came up to the vampire. Do you know who I'm or werewolf? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, she was the only person that seemed like could be an actual human being who acted like a person somewhat. Everyone else acted like a total weirdo non-person. I couldn't relate to anyone. I couldn't understand anyone's motivations. And I understand totally. That a lot of that was mysteries going forward, but there still needs to be some characters who we, like, go, you know, that maybe are relatable, but that are at least understandable.
Ground us in the universe, you know?
Because if we don't know anyone's motivations, then why should we care?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely agree.
So why don't we go around, give this a grade, and say if we would watch again? Ricky, you want to start?
I don't know. I'd have to give it a B. You know, like I said, it's not the best show there is. The characters are very distant. Character development, if there is any, is very slow. But, you know, it certainly picks up as you go. So I have to give it a B.
And Josh?
All right, I'm going to be pretty brutal, but this is just based, I mean, it's strictly on the pilot, so I could come back later, watch a couple episodes, and be like, yeah, I gave the pilot that grade, but the rest got good. I'm going to have to give it a D.
Okay. And would you watch it again?
I will watch it again just because I want to figure out why Ricky likes it. That's why I'm going to watch it again. Yeah.
You'll never figure out why I like it.
I am going to give this a D+ because I like the setting. I like the cinematography in it somewhat. I liked how it wasn't set in New York or LA and the little town. I liked that. How it was shot, it looked pretty good, especially for a Netflix show, you know, with a low budget. I thought it was a pretty good looking show. So I'm gonna give it a D+.
Well, that was very complimentary. That was a lot of compliments right there at the end.
Yeah. Nice. Just technical compliments and no storytelling ones so far, but I am gonna give it a couple more episodes. Maybe it'll find its footing. But I do not have a ton of confidence.
All right, there you have it.
So yeah, it really looks like this is going to be a short week. We don't have a lot of time, but we should probably jump into Game of Thrones.
Let's. What do you guys think, just overall, in one word, sum up last, the episode?
Was it Blackwater or was it not?
That was epic. I mean, definitely the best episode so far this season.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And it goes in probably into the top like three episodes of all time Game of Thrones-ness. So, at least for me.
Yeah, did you guys get that? It was just a fantastic episode. There's a ton going on, but it moved quickly. It was always you were. I don't know. I was just on the edge of my seat the whole time. It's deepened the Varys character a ton. I was so impressed by that. Varys, like, is quickly becoming a new favorite for me.
Sure, and it was a very Varys heavy episode, which we kind of needed. I know his character is supposed to be mysterious in ways, you know, he's the spider, the keeper of whispers and secrets and stuff, but it was great to get that background, and I ate it up, and definitely he is much more on my radar now as a character as well.
Yes, and I can watch Grandma Tyrell and Varys talk all day.
Oh, yes. I love that character, too. Yeah. Great addition, I think, to the show is that Tyrell woman.
Yeah, she's Diana Rigg's a great actress, and I'm really glad she's still around and at the top of her game at, I believe she's 74? Wow. Looked it up a couple days ago, so yeah. She's been around a long time. If anyone wants to check out her work in The Avengers, not The Avengers, the Joss Whedon superhero movie, The Avengers, the 60s British spy show, I would recommend it. It's a good show, and she was a little younger back in those days. A little bit.
Yeah, and attractive and stuff. Like
as yeah, a young... that too.
But no, she's an excellent actor, though, and it's a stellar performance. Like I said, I've loved that character now from the start, and anytime she comes on screen, I know I'm going to get some witty remarks, and it, just the way she talks about the world around her, it's really refreshing in that universe to hear somebody talk as plainly as she does.
For sure. I feel like if Tywin was just a little less horrible, or maybe she was a little more horrible, although we haven't seen the extent to which, you know, we don't know enough about her. Maybe she is just as ruthless as Tywin. But I feel like they could make a pretty good couple. They're both very no bullshit.
Sure, definitely. And two very powerful characters in their own right. Even though she's a woman, you know, very strong woman character in that show. But I have to say, one of my favorite parts of this episode is that I'm actually interested in the North again.
Yes.
And what is happening past the wall? It finally picked up, and I am happy to say, Ricky, I'm there with you, man. It's fun now.
Yeah, there we go.
Now, is it a coincidence that the most exciting episode, the most exciting stuff that had, what am I trying to say? The most exciting stuff in the North this season happened without Jon Snow? Is that just a coincidence? I'm not sure.
We'll leave it to the listener. We'll leave that to the listener.
It's kind of funny if they didn't show Jon Snow and Robb Stark in this one, and this one certainly picked up this episode.
Sure. Well, and the whole time, I'm sure you guys were right there with me. The whole time you're thinking, like, and the Night's Watch is made up of all these criminals and terrible human beings. Like, you're wondering why they haven't turned on this complete jackass of a guy. What was his name? The one with all the wives as his daughters as his wives.
Oh, I'm totally spacing on his name right now. And because it's so utter chaos today, I don't have his name with me.
Daughter, well, bastard.
Yes.
His name, I guess, is irrelevant now because they did kill him. And, God, did you guys cheer for that in that moment? Because I certainly did.
Yeah, well, I was happy that that he, you know, got it. But I kind of wish, you know, their commander, Jorah's dad, commander of the Night's Watch, just let it happen because I liked him. I didn't want to see him die.
Yeah, it was really bittersweet because you got the douchebag in one corner dying and you're cheering. And then you got the Lord Commander, which, yeah, genuinely nice guy. I've liked him since season one. And, yeah, he gets stabbed in the back, quite literally.
Yeah, and it's finally picking up. You know, they're not just walking around anymore. I feel like going forward with Sam and the girl and her son, that there's actually going to be a lot of tension there.
Yeah, I mean, they're on the run now. I expect things to really pick up from here, and it's going to be great. Especially since they're finally making it to the wall now. They're going to be leaving the North.
Yeah. I think we need to talk about the most important thing in this episode. Some may say Daenerys, which we'll get to, but I think clearly the most important thing in this episode...
Oh my gosh, I already know.
...is that the fact that these Stark Bannermen are bottling horse piss just as a prank. Like, what? So let's just go over the thought process for these guys.
Yes,
okay?
Let's please do that.
So
please.
These guys are like, man, we hate Jaime Lannister. We hate him. So what we're going to do... who has an extra canteen? We're going to go... You know, get right up there on our horse's wang, have him pee into one of our canteens, and we'll just carry it with us. I hope they put a marker on it or something.
That nozzle is small too, so I'm sure they got messy getting in there and collecting.
Yeah, so they were like, oh man, this is gonna be so good. We just gotta make sure he doesn't drink water all day, and we'll give it to him at some point today. And and I guess that worked. I hope it was worth it for them. I really do, because I was very confused as to what kind of what they were thinking.
I now question the Stark bannermen.
Yeah.
They just carry around these canteens of horse piss. Yeah, but as much fun as they were having, I have to say, sure, Jaime Lannister is a genuine douchebag, I think. But I felt so sorry for him at the beginning of that episode. It was terrible. They had him, he had his own hand hung around his neck.
And yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine who just started Game of Thrones today.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, I cannot believe that that douchebag threw that kid out the window. I hate that guy. And it's amazing that now it's almost like he's almost an anti-hero. He's almost there to where you are really cheering for him.
Yep, just in that turnaround, that shows you like a class A sort of drama where they can make that total 180 in an episode or two. Like, you can go from despising a character, which I hated him. I genuinely did not like Jaime Lannister. I liked him as a character.
He killed his cousin not too long ago, and I'm sure there's people on the internet that were still saying Jaime Lannister's a douchebag, which is still true, but by and large, people are liking him a lot more.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And if anything, I pity, like, I feel sorry for the dude, because as badly as he treated those around him, karma's a bitch, I guess, because it's all coming back.
Yep. I liked Jamie a lot in this episode. Let's talk about, before we get to Daenerys, though, which I feel like it was last in the episode, we should hold it till last. let's talk about Varys and his backstory and a little bit of his motivations for why he was really against Stannis. Like,
yes,
I thought they did a good job with that. Varys has always been, you know, mysterious, and you know, you didn't really like him because, you know, he's shady and he wouldn't help out Ned Stark.
Yeah, you know, I liked him because he kind of, I mean, he was polite to Ned Stark, but still was like, I'm not going to save you or anything like that. And all we've gotten from him was, you know, Ned asked him basically what side he's on, and he says, I'm on the side of the realm. And I'm like, oh, okay, you're a good guy then. You're looking out for everyone's interests. But we haven't really seen that and haven't been, you know, shown why he believes these things. And, wow, we definitely got that.
Yeah, you saw a little bit more personal ambition in him, in that he made that great statement about, look where I started from, you know, being basically a street urchin who worked at the circus or whatever. I believe that was where he said. He said something. He was owned by...
Yeah, some actors. It was a traveling,
group of actors. Right. And he, he started out there, and how he was able to go through this horrible experience, turn around his life, at least... Maybe not from a moral standpoint, but just from, you know, where he stood in society, and make it all the way to the small council room in King's Landing is, as he pointed out, it's pretty awesome, and he really shows that he's a force to be reckoned with. Definitely. And also, I like him right now because he is against Littlefinger, and anyone who is against Littlefinger is good with me.
Is okay in your book. Yeah, well, I didn't realize, like, I always knew Littlefinger was an ambitious guy. I mean, that's always how they've portrayed that character. I didn't know how close he was to power, though, until the spider basically spelled it out for us by saying, you know, once Rob is dead, you know, if he dies in this fighting his war, whoever's left with, what's her name?
Sansa
holds the North. And so you're like, oh my gosh, you know, Littlefinger is that close to having all of the North, basically.
The King of Ashes. Yep. Yeah, they call him. I love that description.
That was a good line. He doesn't care if the whole realm falls to ashes as long as he can be the king of it.
Mm, yes. Excellent.
Yeah. I also liked how they only figured out that he was going to marry Sansa because he would never order another feather bed because he's such a dick for anyone who's not, you know, is equally important as him.
Yes. If anyone knows him, I guess it's the spider, but yeah, that Roz, was a good line too.
Yeah. Yeah, Roz is quickly becoming a deeper character than she ever was in season one. She's getting involved in some high-level stuff with, you know, betraying Littlefinger, warning Shay about not trusting Littlefinger. She's really made her way up from the one redhead in season one who's always getting naked. She's definitely serving a different role this season.
Sure, yeah, and it's been cool seeing even a minor character climb the ladder like she has. That's it's been good. Yeah, but anyway, I think the part that made that speech so incredible that the spider was giving Tyrion and he was telling him his story was the fact that after he opened up the crate and you saw who was inside, you realized that that guy was hearing that entire story being told and the sorcerer and going, oh my god, this kid found me.
Yeah.
Oh god, wow, what a great moment and great build up and yeah, excellent.
Yeah, I think maybe his part of his reason for having all these spies in the first place was to gain enough power to find this guy.
Definitely, and so now we know that the spider, really what he's against is any form of magic or sorcery in the world. Which, does that mean he'll be opposed to Daenerys with her dragons?
I don't think in this world dragons are really considered that supernatural. You know, they're a known quantity, like a nuclear bomb or a tank.
Okay.
So
they're not like a mystical, considered a magical creature by any means.
Yeah, they're only amazing to people like the slave trader because no one had seen one for so long. But it's not like they were, you know, on the fringes of, you know, legend or anything, because the ruling family had had dragons for like hundreds of years.
Sure. However, they do have some sort of connection with magic now that I'm thinking about it, because the warlocks of Qarth they grew stronger in the presence of the dragons.
Yeah, so but I don't think like your normal person would think dragons equal magic in Westeros.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he's not going to be a huge fan of Daenerys anyway, though, because he serves the Lannisters.
Does he, though? How much of his loyalty does he owe to the Lannisters? I kind of pictured him as on his own team, you know?
I think if they took over and there could be a peaceful, like, transition, that he would serve Daenerys just fine, but I don't think that he's, you know, he's still firmly on the side. He's going to be inside the castle if it ever gets raided, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's not Blackwater,
yeah.
Until he can tell that the mighty Lannisters are going to lose their grip on the realm, I don't think he's going to, you know, step out into the unknown and help Daenerys out or anything.
Yeah, I can agree on that.
Plus, I mean, he probably hated the Mad King. Everybody did, so he probably would feel justified in doing that because the last Targaryen king was horrible. See, another thing was Arya. We learned a lot more about the Brotherhood Without Banners, and I thought that was a great scene where they took the Hound and Arya to the cave, and you were introduced to Nick Fury. I mean, not Nick Fury, but basically, you know, medieval Nick Fury. With the eye patch. And it was interesting to learn that the Brotherhood Without Banners served the Lord of Light, which I was kind of like, oh, her?
Excellent reference. Yes, that was, I had a similar reaction too. I don't know what I think about that. Actually, I do. I do not like the Brotherhood of Banners now. Where before I saw them, sure, as anarchists, but I wasn't actively rooting against them, I really don't like the Lord of Light.
I don't know, though. We don't know if the Lord of Light is just, like, maybe it's something completely different, and it's just being used for evil means by Missalandri. I can never pronounce her name right. Stannis's priestess. The Brotherhood Without Banners seemed very different from, like, her philosophy, and was very into, freedom for everyone. Whereas she was into Stannis, you will rule everyone. So
different interpretation, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I don't know if she met up with the Brotherhood Without Banners, if they would get along all that well.
That's a good point. Yeah, because they do stand for two different things, even though they use the same word, Lord of Light.
And it was funny to see Arya throw the hound under the bus immediately. It's like,
yeah.
I never killed any kids. Yes, you did.
Dude, I would never say anything bad about the hound. not right there to his face, even all tied up like that.
I think we can admit, though, that Arya is braver than all of us here.
Yes, indeed. Indeed she is.
I liked that scene. I wish we'd got more of it. I hope there's an episode coming up that's very Arya heavy. Like, lots of Arya.
Yeah, I could use some more Arya too, because she's had, I think, some of the most shortest scenes, especially in the last two episodes. Which is funny, because I think she's one of the most popular Game of Thrones characters, at least from the people I talk to.
Well, think about it. Last season, they showed a lot of Tyrion and a lot of Arya, and this season, they just kind of have short clips of both Tyrion and Arya. It's pretty crazy.
I think Tyrion is going to be around more. I think he's just had a couple episodes kind of on the back burner, but I bet he'll have some important stuff going on, because he's very involved with King's Landing and...
And Podrick.
Yes. Which is so bizarre to me. Like... I don't know if this is a storyline or if the Game of Thrones writers are just like giggling in some back room somewhere, being like, oh dude, let's write another Podrick Dong
dude
joke.
That's what it is, I swear to God. Because okay, I don't really consider this a spoiler, but I asked my brother, I just said, don't tell me any details, but is this Podrick thing, is this going anywhere? I just want to know that, is it going anywhere? And he said, dude, that wasn't even in the book. This Podrick thing is made by the show. It's not even a part of the book. So it's definitely minor and filler. That's all it is.
Well, but at the same time, they've had important stuff that wasn't in the book. Like, this Theon stuff that's going on did not take place in book 3 or anything.
Oh, what about that, man? Theon is another guy that I hate his guts, but yet feel a little sorry for now, because...
I don't. One, the guy who, fake rescued him, he played Simon in Misfits. I really like him. He's really good. But yeah, I still don't care. I don't give a crap about Theon. When they let him back there, I was just like, oh, that was a Twilight Zone twist. I guess this storyline is just staying in place. that was probably my least favorite part of the episode, actually.
So what exactly happened? Because, I mean, that Simon guy, I'm just calling him Simon now since you said that, he killed his comrades to break him out of there. Then he just took them back. Like, I've got a lot of questions.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
No, they just wanted a confession out of Theon.
We got the confessions and stuff.
And
right.
I guess he was just doing that to look good to them and say, I got the confession, because he did tell them that Theon killed those men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he said it right there, too.
Yeah.
Right in the keep, so definitely.
Another thing I really liked about this episode was continuing to get a lot of great scenes between Marjorie Tyrell and Joffrey and Marjorie Tyrell and Sansa.
Of course, yes, definitely.
I thought that I really hope she's not planning on stabbing Sansa in the back. I'm sure she knows that becoming friends with Sansa is a good move politically, but I really hope that she, you know, isn't a douche and betrays Sansa at any point, because that would make me really sad, because Sansa has no friends.
She is a pawn in the game. That is what she is. Everyone uses her, and she just tries to keep her head down the best she can. That's that.
I did like that scene, though. It was well played. And then, of course, the scene with Joffrey where he's like, waving, what is this?
That waving great. To my people. What's going on here?
And him giggling about people's horrible deaths in the mortuary was so Joffrey.
Can I just say that actor is just spot on, perfect. Like, as much as you hate his character, he's doing a great job being a douche. Like, being a guy you just hate. The way he giggles about that sort of thing makes you want to punch him.
Yeah, he's just so horrible. You love him.
Yep, and Marjorie's digging her claws deeper, and then of course we have Cersei seeing this and freaking out, you know. She even goes to Tywin and says the Tyrell girl is a problem.
And I think Tywin was smart in his estimation of Cersei, saying that she's not as smart as she thinks she is, and she has not kept a good lid on Joffrey at all.
And you know, when Tyrion said that, I came to this realization, because I always saw Cersei, like, as season one Cersei, like, towards the start, where she was this schemer, and I know she seemed to be winning, like, the things she was doing, she succeeded, so I always saw her as, like, a smarter character. But when Tywin said that, I realized, wait a second, she isn't at all. She's had one job, to keep her brat of a son, like, in line, and she totally fails at that. She can't even control her own son.
Yeah, and all the victories she's had have come from her power and wealth. If pushed into a corner, like Tyrion has been a couple times, I don't think she is smart enough to know how to wiggle her way out, because...
Oh, not at all.
All of her victories have come through money and power.
Yeah, and we've seen her pushed into her corner. What was she doing at the Battle of Blackwater?
She was about to kill her kid,
She was 2 seconds away from killing her and her child. So, yeah, Cersei is actually, in fact, not so good at the game. And, yeah.
Yeah, she just happened to end up on top of the game. But like Joffrey, she probably isn't that great at playing it. She at least has some common sense, though, unlike Joffrey. Yeah. And I loved her line to Diana Rigg about that there are only 700 important people in the world. That was speaks a lot about her character, Cersei's character. That her she's very, very, very elitist, like to the max. As long as, you know, her family survives. And she was even being polite, I think, and including 700 people, because in her mind, probably just her immediate family, that's it. Yeah. She just could give a crap about anyone else. She has zero compassion.
Which I don't know if we're going to see that change or something, because, yeah, she basically follows the teachings of her father about this legacy, the Lannister legacy and stuff like that. But Tyrion kind of threw it back in her face, you know, and basically said, no, you know, you kind of suck. You're not as great as you think you are. I don't know if we're going to see where that character is going to go from there.
And Tywin said very clearly that if he's ever put in the situation where he needs to, he will not think twice about doing something about Joffrey, which I long to see. That sounds fantastic. We don't have almost any scenes of Joffrey and Tywin interacting, and I want a lot. I would love to see more of that.
It's so funny because you see those two characters. One has the title of power, but the other, you know, Tywin actually wields the power. You know, if he wanted Joffrey gone, I have no doubt he'd be gone in a heartbeat.
And Joffrey is too dumb to understand that he actually has a probably more power than Joffrey does.
Oh, yes, I have no doubt.
But yeah, it was. I really, really hope that happens soon because it would be awesome. Let's see. Oh, I guess we should finally talk about Daenerys in the scene that everyone's talking about. Josh, what did you think about the final 5 minutes of this episode?
In one word, awesome. Epic. Great. It was just an amazing feeling, especially getting that Daenerys moment where she was speaking in Valyrian, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy's like...
We talked a couple weeks ago, sorry. We talked a couple weeks ago about maybe that Jorah spoke the language, but like Jorah, we underestimated Daenerys.
Again,
because
yes.
Because she was the one who spoke the language.
Sure, and she's so unassuming, but... Yeah, if I would have known that language they were speaking was, because, you know, she's the blood of old Valyria, like she was saying, you know,
yeah.
That's her first language, that's her native tongue, and wow, what an awesome moment where the tables turn, and you knew the word was coming,
yeah.
Dracarys, and the dragon breathes its hellfire down on that big, huge, I've been using this word a lot, but yet another douchebag goes up in flames in this episode. Good times.
It was funny because it's not like it was completely unexpected. I said last week that she probably has a plan for a double cross, but just how it went down was so satisfying.
Exactly. You knew it was coming, but the Game of Thrones, the classic Game of Thrones delivery was just did it so well. And can I say again, like, I know we probably don't bring it up as often as we should, but the soundtrack to this series complements it so well. Like, how great was that music at the end?
It was,
where she's marching away with her Unsullied.
It was really awesome. And Drop the Whip is clearly the new Drop the Mic.
Yes. Oh, man. That was just the icing on the cake. You know she's a ruler because she was born a ruler. Not because she purchased it with this golden whip that means nothing to her, you know.
Or unlike her brother, it's not because she was born into this family either. She's just good at, you know, as a commander and as a leader.
It's in her blood, literally in her blood. Yeah.
Now we're starting to see her actually progress from a girl into a woman now. She just really...
Well, I thought she kind of made that transition a bit last season. Not last season, season one. She gained people's confidence, but she hadn't... And then season two, she, you know, the Daenerys storyline was probably the weakest part.
Right.
But then this season, she's really putting her money where her mouth is and showing that she's, you know, a good tactician, a good leader. And unlike a lot of leaders in this show, she actually has some compassion. They very pointedly had her... command all of the Unsullied not to kill any children. So it makes her very easy to cheer for now.
Definitely.
Yeah, going back to the soundtrack, the show has always had a really, really fantastic music behind it that is subtle enough that you usually don't notice it, but adds to the show a ton. And also, unlike last week, you think if they were ever going to have some, like, fuck yeah music to go out on, it would have been this week. Last week, they had the Hold Steady song. This week, when it was fading to black, you know, I was expecting some, like, dragons! But there was none.
Good thing there wasn't.
Dragon it would have killed my mood.
Yeah, no, I thought the music that they played at the credits of this episode was actually some of the best. Like, that track specifically... was a track I went out of my way to put on my iPod because, it just complements the moment so well. And just epic feelings all around. That whole ending sequence, everything when the Unsullied were bashing their spears on the ground, you know, that was them saying basically, yes, we pledge ourselves to you. Huh? Great, great.
No, I'd pledge myself to her any day. Oh. Yeah, baby. not her character because she's like, what, 13, but...
No, I...
Or what?
She was in the book. I think they're supposed to... In the show, if she's not over 18, that's ridiculous. But yeah,
because the age. Over 18. Or I look like a pedophile now.
She is clearly in her 20s. Emilia Clarke is.
Yeah.
But I really, really liked this episode. Let's go around and give it a grade. You want to start, Ricky?
Oh God. You know, it was pretty good. I don't know, to compare it to Blackwater, though. I mean, it's pretty good. I'd have to give it an A, if not an A+. It was great all around.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. This goes right next to Blackwater as, you know, my top episodes of Game of Thrones, and top episodes of Game of Thrones get an A+ in my book.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to give this... I don't know if I do A+s.
Is that as a critic, that's Dion. Like not good, right? You can't do that.
Yeah,
that,
man.
A plus means perfect, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't perfect because the Theon stuff sure. was not my favorite. So I'm gonna give it an A. It was a great episode of Game of Thrones.
By overlooking Theon, it's an easy A+.
But
I mean, we'll never have perfect, right? We don't get perfect till we go to heaven or whatever. But on Earth, this is as good as it gets, at least from where I stand.
Unless we go to heaven or whatever. That the theology of Josh. But yeah,
hey, I pray. I'm a follower of the one true God. You know,
the death Lord by of fire, Light,
purest death.
Yes, the Lord of Light. But yeah, I would give this an A. And you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say I would watch again.
Are you kidding me? I already watched it twice already.
No, I didn't mean this specific episode.
Oh, you're going to tune back in next week?
Yeah, you know, I think I'll give it a few more swings.
Sure, sure. I'll wait till you watch it and then you let me know and maybe I'll be back too.
So,
Ricky,
yeah.
You say it's not as good as Hemlock Grove, though, right? No.
That Hemlock Grove
nothing could
was,
be Hemlock Grove.
Hemlock no. Grove was flawless, I believe Ricky said.
Well, I just didn't see like the little shit you guys are pointing out. The dialogue.
The little shit? Dialogue is not the biggest.
The character development and dialogue, and
the
man.
Big broad.
The dialogue is not a little thing. The dialogue is...
I overlooked it. I was paying attention to it. I don't give a shit about the dialogue.
What the heck?
I don't give a shit about that little fucking kid.
You're on a TV podcast. You're saying you don't give a shit about dialogue.
No, just the little shit you guys are pointing out.
Well, I think that about wraps up this week. I think this is going to be the shortest episode we've ever done by... a couple minutes.
By like 30 minutes or so.
Well, we used to do hour-long podcasts, but recently it's been so packed that we haven't had time. But this week we kind of had to. So next week we're going to talk about the Sundance Channel's Rectify. All 6 episodes are available on Amazon Video right now. And I'm going to try to watch the whole season in that time. Hopefully my internet is back up and working by then. Yeah, and we're probably going to talk about the next episode of Game of Thrones. And I think we need to check back in at Community one of these weeks soon.
Sure, yeah.
If not next week, then the week after.
I have a couple things to say about that.
For sure. So, yeah. I think that about does it for us. Rate and review us on iTunes if you want to. I should probably start throwing that in at the beginning, but I always forget until the end.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that the show is now is permanently on Wednesday at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
We said it the last time at the end of the show.
Yeah. But, you know, it works. I think that does it for us. And these things, they just snap right.
Oh, good God.
We'll get you later.